Blog Talk Radio.
Well.
I hope y'all are well and everything. This is Wardell Pazia and my big sister, Nigel Beard Silvers, is on the line. Arsenal, she's my heartbeat, and we are so blessed that she's here hanging out with us in the beginning of the show just to give a shout-out. How you doing, Nigel?
Hi, how you doing, Wardell? Hi, everybody.
Hey, oh man. You know, guys, I had to cut the first song off because she's busy, and we were just talking. I said, show's about to start. Can you just say hello to everybody? So here she is. How you been, Nigel? You been good?
Hi. Yeah, I've been good. I'm out here in L.A., in Hollywood, and I'm hot. It's hot out here, but it's really nice. I'm so happy it's summer. Summer is my best time of the year because my birthday's coming soon, August 12th. And
what?
Yeah, my birthday's coming soon.
That's those Leos.
Yeah, Leo. Linda's a Leo, too. Her birthday's August 4th, so we always celebrate together.
All right.
So, yeah, it's beautiful out here. We plan to go to the beach Saturday. Yeah, I'm just really happy and celebrating because I'm a new grandma.
Congratulations.
Yeah, my granddaughter was born the 20th of July, and so I guess she's just like a cancer on the cusp or something. But anyway, I'm not all into that, but anyway.
Okay, right. It's all good. Hey,
yeah.
How old is your grand? How old is she?
She's eight days now.
Watch out. Brand spanking.
Yeah.
What a beautiful blessing that is. Hey, I tell your son, congratulations.
Yeah,
I'm happy for everybody. And, you know, and how's Mama doing? Mama's okay over there?
Yeah, Mama's okay. She's doing fine. She's resting because I think they kind of like stay in for about a month or so, and then they'll take the baby out. I don't know. I had my son out at 7 days old at the mall, and I got in trouble for that with the doctor, but I had to get some shopping done and take some presents back.
We do what we have to do, right?
Yeah, we do.
That's right. Well, you know, I just wanted to, you know, as far as, you know, Dynasty goes, I just want people to know that, you know, Nigra on the stage was so much fun. Like she was leading the band without even having the title as the leader. She would not call herself the leader. She wouldn't call herself the leader because she's so modest. But she was the leader on stage. And my. And that was a beautiful blessing right there. Larry White is calling in right now, but we'll get back to Larry White from Clash. But anyway, Nigel was the leader on stage.
I was just a hype man.
Hype woman. And good looking guy. Drive the guys. So Nigel, the thing about Nigel is that she was really pretty, right? So that all the guys would be like, whoa. But then she was so sweet that all the girls would give her all the love. So that's what made it a perfect situation to have Nigel up there in the front leading Dynasty on stage. And just, you know, that was my first tour ever, and I got to do it with you, Nigel. And I just want to thank you because you've been doing it for many years before Dynasty. So I want to say thank you so much for, you know, being there and blessing us and guiding us and helping us and, you know, being like the mother. She was like the mother of the group.
Yeah, I was the mother. Take care of you guys. Get your clothes ready and keep your clothes together and put them in the cleaners and wash your clothes.
Oh,
I was the mother, all right.
Okay. Yeah. lot of information. But it was good. We had great time. And, you know, all the experiences with our buses breaking down. And, you know, we became so close, you know, because of all the issues and stuff that happened. We got really, really close. And I just want to say rest in peace to Gravedigger, who was our bus driver. You know, he was such a nice man. And but I never understood his name. His name made me crazy, Nigel. Nigel, when we first got on the bus and they introduced us, and I said, what's his name? Oh, no.
That was his nickname. Because he'd be up all night, and he was driving all night. I'd be in the front with him driving. And
okay.
Yeah, I saved the whole bus one time, but little did you guys know, because you guys was asleep. The bus driver was driving on a 2-lane highway, and he had wanted to turn around, so he backed up to turn around, but he backed up in soft sand, soft dirt, and the tires started spinning. He couldn't get a grip to get back on the road, and so it was teeter-totter and half on the road and half off the road. And so I said, oh, my goodness, I got to, you know, let me get a white sheet because I didn't want to run down the road to wave the white sheet because those buses, those truckers be going real, real fast, like over 80 miles an hour down the highway because it's late and it's dark and it's hardly nobody there. And so I broke away from Leon. Leon was saying, no, no, don't do that. And I broke away from him. And I waved that white sheet, and the trucker stopped. And I said, would you have seen this bus? Because our bus was blue. It was dark blue like a night with moons and stars on it. And he said, no, I wouldn't. Good thing you did that. And I said, see, Leon? But anyway, he called. Yes. He had a CB. And he called some other truckers, and they got us off the road. But Gravedigger saved my life too. Again, we was down south, and so I went to go buy. I wanted to go to the bathroom, and so I went to the ladies. I went and asked where the ladies' room was, and the ladies' room said Weeman, W-E-M-E-N, and I said, "May I use the bathroom?" She said, "No, the bathroom is broke." And I said, well, I just got to do, you know, I just got to do number one. I'll go to the men's bathroom. I don't care. And so he said, that's broke too. And I said, well, where do you go to the bathroom? And I was about to jump over the counter because I never felt that before. In L.A., you really don't feel it like you do down south. And I was about to jump. Gravedigger grabbed me, put his hand over my mouth, and grabbed me like a sack of potatoes and backed out. He said, we don't mean no harm, Mr. Ma'am. We don't mean no harm. And he backed out. He said, what's wrong with you? And I said, that lady was telling the tale. And he said, look, we're in the South. Don't you know anything about the South? Don't you know anything about your history?
Oh,
but
Lord.
I didn't even think about it. But, he saved my life because I was about to jump over that counter and get that lady.
or he saved her life, one or the other. Man, oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, Nigel, that is so, thank you for sharing your stories and stuff. And is there anything you want to say to the fans that have blessed us for so many years and still supporting our music and stuff? Is there anything you want to say before we close out?
I just want to say thank you for my life. Thank you for giving me a life of happiness and coming to our shows and supporting us and supporting our records. We really weren't... We were Solar's major act because we were the producers and the writers and the background singers and the songwriters of the record. But we didn't get the accolades that maybe we should have if we had to really keep going. But I just wanted to thank everybody for supporting us and supporting Dynasty. We love you so much. We still do.
Amen.
You know, we still do.
Amen. And
especially
so, guys,
in the U.K.,
yeah, the UK is amazing, huh?
Yeah.
So, but anyway, guys, I think ABC is going to try to release you know, because we turned in three songs, but they only put out the single with two songs on it. So I think they're going to try to release the third song.
Oh, okay.
So we may have something new coming out. So you guys just... Well, it was three songs. It was the two songs that you guys did and the song that Linda sang.
Passion.
Passion, right. That's the one you liked.
I do.
Yeah, and I was like, I like that one. So, but anyway, then all of a sudden, now they're like, you know, we really like that one, too. Nigel's right. But anyway, Nigel, congratulations again on your new grandchild. We're so happy for you and your family.
We
wish you the best. And stay cool, though, Nigel. Stay hydrated because the heat is on out here.
I got my fan blowing right now.
All right, good girl. All right, well, thank you. Thank you so much, and we'll be giving you a call. You know what? I'm going to play this here song, and this is just a reminder of Dynasty, and Nigel and Linda were featured on this song, and we love you guys and appreciate all that you guys do to support us, and I just want to give a shout-out to all you guys. God bless you. And shout-outs from Greg Astrid. Greg is in the U.K., so shout out from Greg to you, Nigel. And Julian. Shout out from Julian because Julian is in Detroit, Michigan, right where you're from.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So shout out from Julian to you. And I know she loves herself some Nigel. And she was really close to Grave Digger. And so So even when Grave Digger wasn't working with Dynasty, he was working with other groups. He would call her and her sisters up and say, hey, I'm in town. They all go hang out with Gravedigger. So Gravedigger was really a really nice man. And he blessed a lot of people. So, but all right, guys. Well, we did Nigel Beer from Dynasty. Here she is again on this beautiful song that I had I was blessed to write this song for Dynasty. It's called Does That Ring a Bell? With Yeah. So here we go.
Thank you, everybody. God bless.
God bless. I love you.
Man, that is so funky. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Lakeside putting it down. Here
you know,
on
I remember that record. That was cool. That's a cold record, but I haven't heard that since the day it was recorded.
Well, you guys, that's Larry White from Collage on the line. My brother Larry. What's up, Larry? How you doing?
How you doing, man? I'm hanging in there, gigging and recording and trying to keep music alive in Las Vegas and traveling around the country and trying to stay healthy.
Larry White used to play with the Whispers, too, all the time. And that's when I met Larry. Just an amazing. Oh, Larry, did you want to say hello to Nidra before she... I know she's
Hey,
there.
Nidra.
She can't hear you, but...
Hello, Nidra. Can you...
Let me see if I can bring her. Nidra, are you still there? Nidra, are you still there? Okay. So I don't I have her mic there, but I don't. She's just walking with the thing playing. So, but anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'll make sure that she heard. I'll tell her that Larry gave you a shout out.
Man, no, so hello. Yeah.
Absolutely, man. Oh man. So Larry, you've been working really hard. You said you're in the studio cutting some more stuff for us.
Yes, for sure. I'm gonna do this little reunion collage record. And you know, I was gigging out with the Whispers for like a couple of months, covering for Emilio. He had a little surgery, and he's well now. But I went out with them for like 3 months. And
oh, just recently?
It was like October, November, something. December. It was nice.
How
it was fun.
How was that?
It was beautiful. It was like,
I'm sorry, Larry. Go ahead.
It was good. It was awesome, man. It's like old times, man. felt good to be on stage with Scotty and Walter and Lavelle and the rest of the crew, you know, the band.
Now. See, this is the thing with you, Larry, and this is intimate. Because the thing with you is that you were with all of the Whispers. You were playing with all of them. And now for you to go back and play with them and two of them are gone, I mean, is it affect you emotionally?
I felt the spirit, but you know what? I felt the energy still as they were right there on stage with us at the same time when all those arrangements and all those parts would come. Nick would be flying across the stage and Marcus would be right there rolling with them and Lavelle, you know, in a trio vibe. What they were doing was phenomenal, man. So I still see the same thing. Me and Lavelle talk all the time. He hung out with me last week.
Really?
So he's going to hang with me. Tonight, I'm playing in Vegas tonight. So he lives out here, so he just, you know, he hangs out with me. I hang out with him. And
oh, that's so
music
cool.
And future plans. And,
That's cool.
Really good,
now,
man.
Also Grady, right?
Yeah, that was my buddy from elementary school from the fifth grade on up.
Man.
I got Grady started.
You did? How beautiful.
Yeah.
How beautiful. And where did Grady, where was he residing at? Was he up in San Francisco? Was he down in Vegas?
I got him to come back to Vegas. We were going to work on a little project that we were going to do, try to groom bands, you know, groups that had their records. And whatever the album was going to, you know, be, we were going to put some arrangements to it for the artist. And build their shows and make that happen. So we're going to do like a big production thing for any artist that had a nice album or whatever. And that was going to be a concept. But then Grady started getting sick at the moment. So he had to go back. He went back home and then they diagnosed his situation. But I hung with him for the last week of his life. I hung with him for a week and then he taught me all his medicines and stuff that he had to take, and we sat there on the couch and talked about everything. He just told me, he said, we went through it all. Larry said, just take the torch and keep going rolling. I told him, I ain't gonna let him down. I said, you know, we started off together, and you know, we fell asleep on the couch. He fell asleep on the couch. And we eat, and I give him his medicine and stuff, and you know, Nick was there with him all the time. My friend Sugar Ray was there working with him. Then the last week when I got ready to go, a few days later, I told him I love him. I showed him, you know, that what his mother told us when we were little. She said, Larry, sit on one corner of the bed. I said, yes, Miss Wilkins. She said, promise me one thing. She said, promise me you and June stick together to the end. And I said, I promise you. She held my hand real tight.
Mm.
And then later she passed away. But I did what
wow.
she asked me. She requested it. So I did
right.
that.
Wow.
All our friends around the country know that's what I did, and that's what I got. My man of my word.
Yeah. Wow, that's an intimate. Yeah, you guys was. What's that, Larry?
No, I said we were really, really, really close. You know, but.
Yeah, that's really close. I mean, he lived with you until the end.
All the way.
Wow. Whoa. All right, man. So Grady actually sang on some of the Whisper songs, which was unusual, right?
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got him in the Whispers. I got his audition and stuff. We worked on the stuff. I said that story all the time. He said, you want it, man? I said, there's an opening. I don't know, you might want to do it, to try it. He said, yeah, I want to try it. He was working on the railroad, putting railroad tracks down. He was on a side job. So I went down there on the railroad tracks down there. I had my cassette player, big boom box. So I had the rehearsals and stuff that I had from the rehearsal that we had getting ready to go out on tour. So Tony Lofano was leaving out of the group. So I said, there's a great position. I'm pretty sure you could feel it because it was always a Whispers fan anyway. So we got there, started working on the stuff. I go down there, and then we went for a lunch break. And it was a friend of ours that lived upstairs from a store, and I heard the piano, and I knocked on her door, and I said, is it possible that we can use your piano for like 15 minutes and we're working on something for the Whispers? His lady said, the Whispers, the real Whispers, the twins? Yeah, he came up and down them steps. He opened up the door. We got ready to go up. It was those Victorian homes, right? It had to be about 18, 20 steps. We went up there and Grace started working on a couple of things. And I think it was Olivia and Bingo and all other songs from the other albums. And Only Went to Wet My Feet. And then we got that down because I said, I think these are the hardest songs, pretty much. And then I called Nick and told him, I said, I think I found somebody. He said, just bring him over, and I'm going to take a look at him, see if we can, you know, see if he make the cut. And they started playing the stuff, and we started singing like Walter Scotty. And Nick got this eye pick. He's like, yeah, yeah, okay, all right. I think we're on to something. Next thing I know, he opened up his mouth and started singing, and then we started working on a couple of original tunes. One of those tunes were Welcome Into My Dreams. It's got, and Nick said, you need to play that song when the twins get here, you know, when they get in for rehearsal. Walter heard the song, they flew in to Walnut Creek, heard the song. He said, if you give up that song, you will become one of the Whispers.
You can have it.
And he had ready to play that beginning part like four or five times, and it was a done deal. And
hold on, what song? What's the name of the song?
Welcome Into My Dreams.
Oh yeah.
We worked on that song for a while, man. We're just trying to get a concept together, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It was Grady's songs, but I just helped him with the arrangement on it. But it's just a song, but it got him through the door, so.
Yay, man. Man, what an amazing friend you are. And, you know, and so I know one thing I could ask you. I probably can't ask too many people this. But I know I want to ask you this question because I've never had the experience of, you know, playing with you guys up on that stage with the Whispers. I mean, I was up on that stage, but with, you know, Shalimar and Dynasty. But never... Never had the blessing to play with the Whispers, and the Whispers have an amazing drummer, so I don't need to be up there.
but you set the foundation on them drums on "And the Beat Goes On," though. That was the key.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. Well, yeah. Thank God. Go ahead.
That was a big difference. You laid the ground. Kirk Perkins had to follow. You set the stage. It wasn't the fact that Wardell never played with the Wizards. Wardell made a foundation and a road for the Wizards to travel, and you made it happen. So.
That's
thank
so
you
good.
For that because a lot of people don't know that. They thought it was a DMX drum machine or whatever. Man, that's Wardell back there laying the pocket for real. Leon probably was saying the whole time.
Yeah, I was a nervous wreck,
hey, if Leon probably told you, man, if we could do that part right here one more time, just play straight through, but just one more time. We almost got it. Knowing Dale where well, you already had it, but he was looking for something else. I don't know what he's looking for, but he's here.
Hey, Larry, this is the funny thing. I had no idea. Tony Westcott was the drummer for the Silvers, and he's from Philadelphia. And so Tony was the one that called me and said, hey, you sure you want to play you want to play for a professional band? I said, yeah. He says, okay, well, Leon Silvers is getting ready to start a group called Dynasty. And I just can't go. I need to stay home with my family. I've been on the road way too much and stuff. And I said, well, I'll go. He said, you will? I said, yes, I'll go. And so I went out. So anyway, so before I went, Tony was trying to teach me what pocket was because I was teaching Tony jazz because I was a jazz drummer.
Okay.
But I wanted to play pocket because I couldn't understand why does everybody like the simple, easy groove stuff? And then when I started playing that, I go, this is not simple. to play this thing, same thing. The groove has just got to be laid. People are depending on you, and it's got to be consistent.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so it takes a lot of concentration, right, to do the same thing and just make it feel better each time. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
And so, but Tony was trying to tell me what pocket was. I had no idea what he was talking about. And so then, when I got to Leon, we were in the studio, and he was like, okay, pocket. I had no idea. I was just, okay. Had no idea. He could have been saying anything. He could have been saying Chinese food. I would have been like, okay.
Yeah. Wherever you brought the noodles to the table, because I'm telling you, that pocket made the mark for Solar. A lot of people could say it was Leon with the bass line. Because Wardell Potts with that drum pocket. But once you start playing and you was rocking in your seat, I say, look at it. He rolled it.
Oh, man, that's so, I mean, it was definitely, Leon, you know, we on Anna B Goes On, dude, I think it probably took us about six hours to make sure that we had I don't know if it was that long, but it felt like that long because we took a break.
Yeah.
Leon was like, okay, we just need to take a break and now come back in. So it was like we rehearsed it for the first half of the day. We were just rehearsing, even though we were in the studio recording, and it was like more of a rehearsal. And then we would go in and listen, and then we would correct what he didn't like. And so then we'd go back in and correct it. And then, okay, fine. So now, all right, now he said, take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to just start all over from scratch. And we did. And finally, like after the second or third recording, it's like, okay, that's it. All he wanted to do was get the drums right. That was it.
Yeah.
I need it. Because then he could build from there. But the foundation has got to be right. And so, I learned that day, and I had to make sure my part was right every time because I didn't want everybody looking at me like, man, how many more times we got to play this till you get your part right? So
you got it right.
But this
is
the question.
It was a toss-up.
Huh?
Yeah,
no, go ahead. You can finish.
It was a toss-up between And the Beat and Out the Box.
Oh, right. We did them both the same night. We did them the same night.
Big Rizzy, he was going to – he let us hear Out the Box, hear the NB first because we were down in his house at Bowling Hills. We came up. We had worked on the stuff that we were supposed to work on, Say Yes and Lady and all that stuff like that.
Right.
So he came – the Griffey went upstairs, back upstairs. We drove the tour bus. We lived in that cul-de-sac. We had the tour bus down there. Oh, man, we set up in a den downstairs. And we were throwing some stuff. And he said, we came up downstairs. They said, that's not it. You know, that we played a couple other songs. And then he played just the basic track of
and out the box.
Mm.
And then he said, everything something like this. And then it would be played and the beat. And it was so cool. He didn't go all, he didn't play the whole thing. He just played a little bit. I guess where you guys are starting the draft of it before your final touches. So he went upstairs and came back downstairs. And me and Nick and Grady and Scotty looked at each other. He said, it's time to pull the rabbit out of the hat. We busted. Dick Grady came back downstairs. We went. He said, you think you guys got something now? We went, pow, 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 pow. He said, that's it right there. It
was lady. And what was that? What was that?
Lady. It was lady. He said,
okay.
Now that's what I'm talking about. So we got that, and then we bust into not a song we had did. I don't know. But it was something like, me and Grady had wrote Don't Say No. But it didn't make the cut. And then we wound up playing Say Yes, and that made the cut. Then later, the Whisper Jack to do Don't Say No. We got it, but we haven't really did anything big with it. It's a great song. You know, we wrote that on the road and never got the spot for it. They kind of like, yeah, okay, we'll get to that one day. But never got to it.
Hey, just real quickly, anybody that's just tuned in, I just want you to know we're speaking with Larry White from Collage. And Larry was with everybody, actually. He's a part of the sound of Solar. So it's a blessing to have him on earlier. Niger Beard from Dynasty was on. If you want to hear that you have to wait until this is over. And then when you can start it over and then you'll be able to hear the whole show from the beginning. But right now we're talking to Larry White, my brother, guitarist, amazing musician, songwriter, and what a blessing it is. So anyway, Larry, so this is the question that I have. This is the question, the big question I have for you. Oh, listen, Larry, I'm going to ask you this question, Larry, but it doesn't mean anything to me because to me, everything that we did was just a blessing. Every opportunity was a blessing. It was a gift just to be able to work with each other and be there and record for the Whispers and Shalimar and Dynasty and all the groups that we work with. It was just a blessing to even know each other. So when I ask you this question, I only ask it as if I was someone else, another DJ or something that was asking you this question, not because I'm Wardell, but because I just want to know, Wardell wants to know. So when you're on the stage, this is the question, when you're on the stage with the Whispers after all these years that you've been on the stage with them and you just recently went back on and helped them out, what songs or song do you feel gets the most like, oh my God, every time we play that song, these people go crazy? Is it Lady? I just want to.
Lady. It's Lady. It's Say Yes. It's Rocksteady and the Beat and Olivia.
Ah. Wow.
Those are the highlight songs.
And those
when they play
the
back east, people are singing those songs, those crowds, those people that was out when they were younger. When I remember, they were coming to the shows. They still come to the shows in their fur coats, beat coats, Cadillacs. Let's go.
Old school.
I'm like, the Whispers still got a crew. Detroit, Atlanta,
yeah.
L.A., Bay Area.
Yes.
Vegas. Everywhere they go, they selling out. It's not a empty seat in the house. You might find like 3 or 4 or 5, maybe 19. That's max. But you can fill that up just with the crew sitting down, just enjoying it. They have to sit down and take a break. But as far as the ticket sales, awesome.
So it seems like to me when you guys are playing, it seems like to me that. And this is just a hypothesis. It seems like to me that the slower songs is for the audience. Like they really, those are the ones they remember. They love, 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 love. And the faster ones, you guys are just, it seems like y'all are having so much fun on the fact, just the way that y'all look, you're moving around, you're smiling, and everybody's soloing it. I mean, it's just like everybody's all over the place. So is that? Go ahead, Larry.
The arrangements are so fun to play. It's like, all right, we on the field. We know the songs. The excitement is when we throw that curveball and take it to another level, and the tempo changes, and the 30-second notes is going to kick, and then it's going to be some pauses and delays and some crescendos, and it's about to happen. Then you bust into another hit record. It's like,
wow.
It's like you ran around a track super fast, but you know when you get close to the base, you got to put on brakes at the same time, on into the next phase.
I know.
So it's like,
it is. I love the dynamics too. It's just so good when y'all do what y'all do and those breaks and stuff. And I was like a big fan of Kurt, the first drummer.
Kurt Perkins. Yeah,
oh,
Kurt
my
Perkins. He's
God.
He's still playing. He's doing the same. I talk to him all the time. Kurt laid a foundation for some drummers out there on the road when we're out there. But you know what? Kurt was persistent, and he was persistent on the record. He deleted. Mm-hmm. He created a lot of those drum fills that was on the records. One of the things I realized that we were doing, and maybe at that time was really cool, but I think we were playing a little bit too fast in certain things to take the slump and the hump out of the record. But I can say at that time, we was creating some smoke. It was smoking.
So, and it was, and the best thing about it for us is nobody else had to go back on there after y'all got off. It was done. It's like, okay, everybody, we can go home now. It's done.
We wanted the Whisper Band to be. We wanted to be the Earth with the Fire. We wanted to be the orchestra. We wanted to be everything we could possibly be.
Our
competition was when we left L.A. in the Bay Area. We got down to other spots. Bo Bryson and his band was a killer. Shoot, man. It was some bands out there that we didn't even expect to be the one, but people had a band. Today, right now, if you look at it, if you ever had a chance to be on tour out there when we did the Whispers, the Commodores, Bo Bryson, Patti LaBelle Luther, and all them, Bo Bryson's band was a secret weapon. If you look at the People's Bryson's band and look at Babyface's band now, that's the kind of band that Bo Bryson had, what Babyface had right now.
Wow.
That's what I remember. Because that was one of my favorite groups.
Wow.
So go look at some of the footage, pull up Bo Bryson when he was not at the piano, when Bo Bryson was Bo, and he had a band. And that band was stepping and singing and doing all the stuff. It was like beautiful. Babyface's band now. So, Face, if you hear that, I pay very close attention, and you doing the right thing. Not knocking it, but you picked up something that's really, really happening. I love it. And your band is hot.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Wow. So, man, I just want to thank you, just for all that you do. I know that I had some questions that was coming. Somebody said they had a question for you in regards to Grady, but I never got the question. Here they're typing it right now. So one more question for you before you go. But thank you for your contribution to the music industry. Mm-hmm. And I want to know, did you get your award from Los Angeles City Hall?
Yes, I did. I got it.
Okay,
sure. I got it.
That's awesome. So anyway, I'm going to have to let you go. I don't have the I don't see the question. So, but anyway,
whatever the question is, and whatever the question was going to be, I know it's good. Yes.
Well, it felt uncomfortable asking, but I'm not sure. But anyway, God bless you and rest in peace, Grady.
Right on, man.
And then you know we lost Edna, right? Remember Edna?
Yeah, I saw that, man. I was like, oh my goodness.
God. That was crazy.
Man.
What a beautiful lady, and just like, man.
Awesome, man.
Yeah,
she's cool,
Yep. So but
I
okay.
I got a chance to reach out to Ray Harris. I talked to
him.
Oh,
you did? Yeah, you know, me too.
He's just living life. He just enjoying the industry change, and he's just enjoying it. So if you've seen anything or hear anything for some big corporate parties or whatever, let me know. You know, I'm willing to still do some of that. You know, it didn't have to be no record, but I'm going to do some records anyway. But
You know who lives out there by you?
Oh.
Pamela Phillips Oland. Do you remember Pam?
Yeah.
She lives in Vegas. She lives right there. So does Amir from Kool & the Gang.
Yeah, he out here. They start their residency next month at the Westgate.
What?
Yeah,
Oh my god! Hey, I have a group that I produced that has a residency out there, and I can't believe they have a residency out there. The Jets.
Oh, okay, Jets. One of my friends, Michael Pollard, playing keyboard as well.
Yeah, I was like, how did the Jets, you know, I mean, it's just amazing, you know, you just got to find your niche, I guess. You got to find your little, your place.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah,
I'm proud.
There's a lot of little spots, but you just got to come with a show, that's all. If you had to have a decent show, you can sell some tickets on your promotion part of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, give you a shot. It won't stay long, but if you have your shot. You know,
okay.
But it's about what you put into it, then that's what's going to make it sustain. But other than that, you'll hit that spot and do something else and move on and don't give up. Just keep on. The door's open, roll in. When it closes, get ready for the next door. Don't knock soft.
Lean on that door if you got to.
Yeah,
hey,
knock hard. Don't be afraid.
What is the name of your, what did you change your name? What's the name of your group now?
My group is called In Effect, I-N-A-F-E-C-T.
Okay.
In Effect.
Okay.
I-N-A-F-E-C-T.
And when is your next gig?
Tonight. We have the Santa Fe Casino in Vegas. If you go In Effect Schedule, go Google and go In Effect Schedule. And it'll pop up, and you'll see our whole schedule for the whole year. And you just scroll and find a date, pick a date that you want to come check it out, and you get some cool old school, new school stuff, and fire and energy, high energy, exciting. But bam, you know.
Okay, this is the question. The question finally came through. It says, the question is, I guess you said something about you guys were arranging songs. The question is, what is meant by arranging a song? What is that?
Arranging a song is, okay, you got the record. The record is what the record is. But to perform it and get the high energy out of that record for a live performance for people to go, ooh. Man, when they bust into that change, that bridge over there, or when the way the intro started on the song, that's not on the record. No, this is where you come in with your arrangements and staying within the frame of the record, within that frame of the time of the record, and building yourself off of your record to make it more exciting live, so you will want to go buy it. Some people who go to a concert hear the other song. It's not considered the B song, but the other song, they say, oh, who's that right there? That's Whisper Suit. Oh, I didn't know that was Dynasty. I didn't know, you know, that sound like Bruno Mars. You know, Bruno Mars sound like Dynasty, because Dynasty already had that Bruno Mars sound already.
Mm.
So you listen to all this stuff, and you put songs, you put your ideas, and get your creative energy in there, and you wind up putting Gene Dozier stuff on there, the Janis Gower stuff, the Jerry Hay stuff. You wind up putting a Greg Phillinganes kind of arrangements on. You start putting, you know, the Leon Silver's arrangements. Leon gives you enough arrangement on the song, but for live, when you want to go, you got something to work with. So you
right.
have that in you as an arranger, or somebody to put that inspiration, that drive for the live part of it, for people to scream and go crazy and make the artist feel good and make your tour last. That's what I do.
And okay.
So that's what I consider arranging.
Yeah, okay.
After the song is done.
Gene Dozier used to live out there where you are.
Yeah, I love you.
Yeah, yeah.
So I learned a lot of stuff from Gene Dozier, John Parrish, sometime
right.
84.
John Parrish.
And then,
oh, my God. Basically.
Yeah, so once I learned, I learned his stuff, and he taught me a lot of stuff. So I combined that, me and Grady combined all that, and we learned a lot, man. So I use it to this day.
Oh, yeah.
I had a one-on-one conversation and a study, and on the road, and riding the bus all over, and planes all over the country, I couldn't do nothing but live it, learn it, and eat it if I wanted to. You know, I didn't have to, but I was interested enough to want to know. So,
yes.
I learned something one-on-one instead of trying to figure it out online and try to figure it out now. I've been rolling with it for like 30-some years now, so I got it down, and I'm still learning, so.
Yeah. They said, is there a difference between arranging and producing?
You could be a producer. You could be a song. Well, they got it where you're an engineer, songwriter, producer, because you run a Pro Tools. That's two different worlds. I look at it totally different because the way we did for so long, we had Steve Hodge as an engineer, Leon Silver as a producer, but still know how to mix. You know, Leon wasn't the person to do all the buttons and pushing and plugging
right.
in stuff for
right.
two track. But now it's, you got an in-house kind of concept as an engineer, producer, songwriter, because you running your own instruments and your plugins, and you doing your own, dropping your key lines in and your bass little lines and dropping a couple of drums, but they're not doing drums like you were doing when you laid a record from 0000 to 4 minutes and 55 seconds or 6 minutes long straight across.
Mm-hmm.
So you can drop and drag and do that, and then you call yourself a producer. That's a producer, but that's not, you're not a drummer like Wardell Podcast lay that track. and if you miss a beat, you could drag and drop and slide a snare in there on hi-hat. What we did, and you great witness to that. If you messed up somewhere down in 320 and it was off kind of beat, the ranger would try to make the engineer used to take it all over. They just arranged to that off beat that you did.
Mm.
So if you go to cop. Doom, cop, doom, and I, doom, cop. So just put an arrangement to that.
Yeah.
So
build around
it. Difference. Build around it. As long as you got past those 2, 3, 4 minutes. Now you can splice and do whatever and do the same thing, you know. Just time stretch it and stretch the same beat if you're not doing your drum rolls over on top of that. And so you can build. It's easier.
It's a whole nother world now. And you know what really scares me? And I'm not going to keep you. I know I had you a long time. Thank you. Larry White from Collage, we're talking to. Larry, what do you think about AI?
AI is cool. Everything that they're doing now is for the new generation. That's beautiful. So what they're doing now, they just... going into what we laid down as the foundation, but they don't know how to really get it unless you go on. if you were to go on Facebook and demonstrate how you recorded those records, they'll be amazed.
Mm-hmm.
If you show them what kind of drum set you use a Ludwig set or whatever, if it was a Pearl set. Or whatever type of drum set that you use, and you tell them, this is what I use on there, and this is how I played it, this is all I played for 5.5 minutes on this particular song. This was the breakdown. this was the bridge. It's the kind of hi-hat I used, Zildjian or Sabian, whatnot at the time. I don't know, Pace, whatever. But
yeah,
you see what I'm saying? You'll create that thing. They'll be like, you know, that's the drummer was the creator of in the building and the foundation of Solar Records. It wasn't the Motown people. It was Wardell. Sure, each drummer, each artist had a different drummer for the live, but who laid the pocket for the record to launch second time around and the beat goes on, all that other good stuff like that. Wardell Potts.
Man,
I
think I should make him in charge of my YouTube channel. Larry knows how to get, you know, like, listen, this is what you need to do. This is what you break it down and tell them, and there you go. That's what people are interested in. And it's really interesting that people are interested in it, but what really makes me crazy is that kids are not following through with developing themselves as a complete musician, you know, to take it to the level that they really could be, because they go into this, you know, wanting to just go to the sequencer and then, you know, they don't push themselves the way we had to. I mean, I remember bleeding, practicing to be a better drummer, doing everything I could to get, you know, to this level of being able to be a professional drummer. But nowadays, they got this shortcut with the computers, and I think that it's taken away, you know, what they really can give us, because they could got shortcuts now, and that makes me sad.
I would say this. I'm gonna leave you with this, and I want the whole world to hear this. If you're ready for this major tour that you're gonna play on, it's 18,000 people. It's guaranteed. It's already sold out. Tickets already sold. I'm not gonna say it. Tickets going on sale, none of that. It's already sold out. You leaving Los Angeles, you leaving Bay Area, you leaving down south, you leaving down from Miami to from Atlanta, working on your show. Now you're ready to hit the road. You go out there, and most of your show is sequence. That's a shortcut, saving money. That's beautiful. You got a band. They can play somewhat. They're good. You got these drummers that play all over the place, and they lay the pocket like Wardell laid the pocket. If Wardell was playing drums like the drummers are playing now, Wardell would never been on Amity Goes On. Just Keep On Loving Me, all those other songs like that. They wouldn't have been on those songs. Because all those turnarounds and those sound like, to me personally, when you do that and nobody's with you playing that, seems like you dropped in a bunch of garbage cans. They all fell doing a beautiful song. So if the accents are not really there for real, let the song breathe and let the song go. But if you were out there on that tour, 18,000 people, 22,000 people, 500 people, and you play that show, and all of a sudden, in the show sequence, and all the power go out. And the power comes back on. The sequences are thrown off. Or you can stop from the beginning of that to start your show all over again. Are you going to be strong enough as a band to be able to play that show with the sequencer or out without the sequencer and still sustain and make that show a successful show? Question mark. A lot of kids don't even know what key they're playing in. Here's playing.
I know.
A lot of drummers play to the track. If that track go out, the drummer just going to be playing with himself. Emergencies happen. You never know when they happen, but you got to be able to back that up. And if your backgrounds are all on sequence and you don't have no background singers, and you see, it's always a safe zone. So make sure your band is super tight with the sequence, without the sequence.
Yes, exactly. With and without. So because
and if you know the show,
Guele.
If you know the show, you're safe. If you don't know the show, if you don't know what key you are in, or times you're playing with the track and stuff like that, you still don't know what key you're playing in, but the track is going, or somebody's missing, the show can go on without the band. That's why you got track shows. You got to weigh your option with your career, where you're trying to go. Save money, be the best that you're going to be, or take your career and run with it with the sequencer and the band and run with it and win and go to the next phase.
There you go. Well, thank you, Larry White. We love you, brother, and appreciate you. Thanks for hanging out with us today. And
always.
And in closing, I guess you said what you had to say, right? So thank you again, man. And I'm going to leave you with Collage. And this is called Handling Joy.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, man. Thank you for calling in and just sharing. I mean, your amazing, just all that information and stuff, your wisdom and all the time that you were on the road with the Whispers and just the stuff from behind the scenes. I mean, it's very difficult to know. I mean, like I said, I wasn't on the stage with the Whispers. I was on a stage with, you know, Shalimar and Dynasty, but I was never on the stage with the Whispers, just in the studio recording for them, but never on the live stage. And to hear, just for Larry to be able to give us that insight, that's really good, right? That's really good. Now, what I'm going to give you now is something completely different. This is something where I had a friend, Ricky Freeze, introduced me to Troy Jeter, and he's a friend of ours. And for years and years and years and years, you know, we've been knowing each other. And so the Troy was in the studio with us as we were recording a lot of stuff. He was always there. Him and Ricky were like best friends. So I want to bring him on right now so we can get the point of view about what it was like for him to experience us in the studio recording all that stuff. So Troy Jeter, welcome to Solar Records Radio. What's happening, my brother?
Hey, man, how are you? Glad to be on the radio with you guys. How you doing?
Oh, man, good. Hold, wait, how's the temperature? Where you at?
Ooh, it's hot, 97.
Oh,
probably not as hot as it is where you are, but it's hot.
Well, yeah, see, he's from where I am now, so he knows. And, yeah, so it's always hot. It's always hot in Texas, man. Lord, it's just,
yeah,
but it was just extremely too hot for the last couple of weeks, right? It was just, like, way too hot. You know, 105, 110, 100, feeling like 115 or if one, like, what? Are you kidding me? We couldn't even go outside in the daytime.
I know. Isn't that mad? That's madness. After living in California all those years, you know, that's way too hot for us unless we had a heat wave.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I just wanted to say hello to you and your family. Hello to your beautiful wife and your kids and stuff. You're not in California anymore like I'm not. But I want to go back to, you know, when we were in the studio and you were there with us and stuff. And so what was that point of view? Because you have your own story about what you witnessed with the Solar stuff. So I just want to know what that point. Yeah, what was that? What's
man,
that story
I, you then? Know, I think about that. I think about that often, Wardell. And it, first of all, let me just say, it was a blessing to be there. You know what I mean? To really be able to witness what happened with all those hit records. That came. I mean, how many people can actually tell my story other than you guys? Right.
Exactly. So, right. Right.
That was a blessing within itself. And to see the creative process, how it all came together, it was just amazing. I mean, and it one thing that I can say that I truly learned from that, from being around all of that, is music in that perspective is truly God-given. You know, you can't manufacture it. It just comes from somewhere and it comes over you and you just create it. Because I mean, you can think about the way things were. You guys were always, you know, especially at Studio Masters where most of the stuff was done.
Right.
You know, it was like everybody was in a room and just started a groove, you know, Will on the keyboards, Kevin on keyboards, Ricky on keyboards, and you on the drums, and either Richard or Pepper on guitar. And then Leon would put his bass on later and then come back and do all the vocals and stuff. But it was just, it was so much energy, so much creativity, and so amazing to be around all of that stuff that it just, you know, it just really gave me a different perspective on how music is created.
Right. I mean, you're like the witness of hits that, well, you sooner or later, you're going to go in your car, turn the radio on, and you're going to hear the song that you just heard recording. I mean, how was that? Yeah. Like, wait a minute. How did that feel for you to have that experience? Like, whoa.
It was amazing, man, because, I mean, it really humbles you. You know, and Ricky and I talk about this all the time still. The stuff that was done way back then, and how now today you can still hear it on the radio 30 years or more later, still banging on the radio. It's not like it's dated, you know, and to be a part of that whole situation is just, it's overwhelming, man. I can't really even put it into words today.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can help. I'll try to help you along because I understand that feeling and stuff. I have the same problem, you know, and when people ask me, like, so how did that feel? Like, it's like hard to express that. But I just remember, you know, you always being there. And so the atmosphere with all the guys and stuff, we were having so much fun and stuff. And I mean, you remember we used to box and stuff in there, and we were doing all kind of different things. What was it? Was there any particular moment that sticks out in your head when we were in the studio recording?
Probably was the times when Robert Guillaume was there, but that was at Devonshire. That was a little bit later on. But when Robert Guillaume and his son were around, Todd Bridges was around, you know, from time to time. Those were things that were memorable. But I think the most fun stuff as the guys was just being, you know, in the studio together and just recording, having fun, man. It was all fun. And I think truly at that point in everyone's life, everyone would have done that for free. It wasn't about the money. It was about the love of the music. And the love of the creativity, you know, just being a part of something that you knew, okay, I'm going to go in, I'm going to cut this song, and it's probably going to be on the radio.
You know, it was also, you know, when you were talking about the different celebrities that came in, celebrities would just show up because they wanted to see how is this happening, you know. I remember we had so many different celebrities just coming in the studio all of a sudden. And they were just there, and I'm like, what's going on in here? Is this like a photo shoot? And you know, but it was just like, you know, a beautiful blessing. I mean, next thing you know, we work with people like Janet Jackson, and you know, and then I think who was that they tried to get to sing with the kid you just mentioned, that was from that TV show.
Todd Bridges?
Yeah, Todd.
I'm not sure. They tried to get him to sing something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was the whole thing. So he was already a star on this TV. So it was like, just get him to sing something and just put it out. It's going to make some money. All we had to do was get him to sing something, put it out, and it was going to make money. But unfortunately, we couldn't get him to sing it. Right? I mean, he just did not have that. That was just not
a lot of
in. Yeah. In the cards for him.
Yeah, a lot of people have tried and not been able to do that. That's very true, Wardell.
And so that was a part, that's like another celebrity wanting to tap into what was happening at Studio Masters. They wanted to be a part of that sound. Put me on something. Let me put it out. And then, you know, and it was a beautiful environment and stuff. But did you ever box?
No, I never did.
You didn't put the – okay, yeah. He's kind of one of those.
No, I never put the gloves on.
He's more of a – yeah, he's Mr. Cool. He pulls up in the nicest cars. His car is always better than everybody's in the studio. I'm like, how come he has a better car than all of us? Like, what's –
wait a minute. Now, Will had one of the nicest cars, that convertible Mercedes he had. That was a nice car, remember?
Yeah, it took him a minute to get it, though. It took him a minute to get
it. Yeah,
but
it was a classic Mercedes, 66 or something,
God.
I think, was the year. That thing was nice, man.
I want to call his daughter and go, where's that car? what's good?
What
you know, but I don't. Yeah, because I used to, you know, love that car so much, and it was a beautiful, beautiful car. You know, it's so funny. Will went out there one day, and he went to get in his car, and he sat there, and he's sitting in the car, and he's like, something's not quite right. And so he put the key in the ignition, started the car, and he was like, what is wrong? Something's wrong with my car. I can't figure out what's wrong with it. And then he put it in gear to get ready to go, and he was like, "Oh my God, my steering wheel's gone."
Somebody stole the steering wheel?
Yes, they stole. You know, they had the Mercedes had that wooden steering wheel, and it was it looked so good.
They were expensive.
Right, exactly. And he had convertible. He had his top down, and so he parked it in the wrong place somewhere, so in the wrong neighborhood, buddy.
But it
was just funny. He was sitting there trying to figure out what is wrong. I can't figure out what's wrong. Oh man, William Shelby, rest in peace. But anyway, man,
it was such a blessing to be around all of you guys, though, man. I mean, you know, if I had to sum it all up, you know, I don't know why God chose me to put me in that predicament, put me in that position to be around that, but it's something that it's, you know, like, you know, the MasterCard commercial where they said priceless. That's the way I feel about it. That was priceless.
That's cool, man. Well, you know, look at this. We're all still friends after all this time.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy. I know. You guys are really old.
Yeah, we are. Because we were in our 20s back then, right?
Yes, we were in our
20s. We were in our 20s.
Yep, and now here we are up in the beautiful 60s. But you know what? It's a blessing, man. And I just want to thank you, you know, just for, you know, hanging out with us and, you know, and just, you know, doing what you did and stuff. You were really uplifting to Ricky all the time and stuff. And you guys, your friendship just, it shows how beautiful and how powerful it was, because you guys are still the same way and still, and you two with your barbecue and your cooking, your grilling. These two are the grilling. Yeah. It seems like they challenge each other or something. I don't know what that is about. But.
No, we never compete, but he's better than me. I already know that.
Oh, really? Is he? Okay.
I'm good, but I think he got a little edge on me on that one.
Okay. And so let me ask you, this is a tough question.
Okay.
All right. So you might want to think about this one. I could play a song while you think about it. That's what I don't know. Okay, so here's the question. Tell me if I should play a song while you think about it. The question is, out of all the songs that we did through, you know, for Solar, and it don't necessarily have to be, you know, what we did per se. It could be the ones that you witnessed, but it don't have to be that. It could just be Solar. Let's just make it real. This Solar, out of all the songs out of Solar, do you have a favorite?
I probably have a couple of favorites. Am I allowed to say a couple of them?
Yes. Yes. And then tell me why. I want to know why.
Well, you know me, bass and drums, right? You know that already. I'm going to lead to. And so I'm probably going to say, the first two that come to mind is going to be Keep On Loving Me and Stroking.
You are so cool. I love you.
And Stroking would probably be the first two. Then Keep That Love and Feeling. Remember that one? That one was funky too. The one Pepper and Leon did.
Dynasty. Yeah.
Yeah, you play that one.
You know. That was one of my favorites as well, and it was also because of, you know, Pepper. Like good gracious, what
Pepper was Pepper. Just ridiculous, man.
It was like something like here we go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, go.
Yeah.
Turned up the flame that's been long burned out, and I tell you I've been.
Man.
That's nasty, ain't it?
Yeah, that you brought that up, man. Whoa. But Pepper was just sick like that, wasn't he, man?
Yeah,
that
groove
was that was crazy how he and
he
so,
just came up with the bass line and Leon had to learn it.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yep.
Here's that other one.
Oh yeah. This is a nice one too.
You know,
man, you know what, too? We need to give Kevin his flowers on his vocals, man. His tone was incredible.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Kevin, you get your flowers, my brother. And who was that playing bass? I forgot who played bass on that.
That's Freeze.
Oh, Ricky Freeze.
That's Ricky.
On bass.
Yeah, that's Ricky Freeze on bass.
See, it takes a best friend to know all that stuff. See? They know. I didn't even know. We were in the group.
You didn't know that? You didn't know that?
I didn't know. I thought it was
man,
Kevin.
Look, no. He was living in Inglewood when he cut that track, and he played it for me before it even got really cut. That's Ricky, man.
Oh,
yeah, that's
man,
Ricky on
oh,
bass.
Man. And So I know you said Keep On Loving Me was the first thing you said, and then you said Stroking, and then you said, you know, Dynasty got two out of the three so far that you said. I don't know if you said a fourth. Did you say a fourth one?
No, I didn't say a fourth, but, you know,
okay.
Obviously,
that's
And the Beat Goes On.
Yeah.
And the Beat Goes On, that's a major hit.
Yes, sir.
You know, Sweeter As the Days Go By.
Oh, my God. I love
Gladys
that one,
Knight
too.
Song. What's the Gladys Knight song? My God, I can't think of the name of it now.
Wait, what was that Gladys Knight song called?
It's the one Ricky and Kevin and Richard did, I think.
Which one was that? Gladys
Save
Knight
the
song.
Overtime.
Yeah, Save the
Overtime.
Overtime.
Yeah, that's another one.
Another classic, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Man, oh, man. And, you know, there was one that they did, too. But just because you said that, I got to just, you know, let you know I got it right here.
Oh, yeah. That's Leon on the bass there.
Come on, y'all.
Oh, I go round trying to find
babe, that had that thing. And, you know, and yeah. The Throwdown Brothers, that's kind of more like a Throwdown Brothers thing where we were just, the sound was going everywhere. Different companies outside of celebrities, different companies were coming to Solar and asking for music for their artists. And it was like, okay. And so Leon, that's why Silver Spoon Productions had to become a separate entity than Solar, because we needed to have a place for them to go. Other than go to Solar,
right.
You know, so they came to Silver Spoon Productions, and so we started producing people outside of Solar, and that's when things just started, you know, we just started having fun. But this is a song that we also did with Gladys Knight, and it was a song that Richard wrote, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to play it, just to salute Richard Randolph. But I really love this song, man. Check it out.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I had to let it go just for Richard Randolph, and rest in peace.
Yeah, that's
Richard.
A great song, man.
Yes, 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 sir. Man, oh man. So, how did you and Ricky meet?
We met through LaJuan.
Oh, okay.
His sister.
Yeah.
LaJuan introduced me. LaJuan met me, and then she found out I played bass. And she said, "Oh, my brother plays bass," and so she said, "You should come meet him." And when I went to go meet him, then his friendship and my friendship kind of superseded her friendship and mine. And so, because we had music in common.
Right, so right, right.
It kind of, that's kind of where it started.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think he was at the time playing with the Silvers. He was just getting ready to go out on the road with the Silvers. And
okay.
That's around the time that I met him.
Okay. Well, man, thank you so much, man. It was just a pleasure, you know, having you on the show for the first time. And it's not the first time. You were on before.
Yeah, I've been on before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to have you on again. And
thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So I'm going to be coming through. Mm-hmm. Your. I think I'll be coming through. I'm trying to come through Nashville. So I will be Tennessee, So I will hit you up. It'll be after the 15th. So like I think
okay, that's cool.
Yes. Okay.
Let me know. The 16th is my birthday. I'll be around, of course.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday.
See, I already told my wife that we had talked about that. So she says, yeah, you guys come on through. If you want to spend a night or two, that's fine, too. However you want to roll. I got a pool. Oh. We can go swimming because it's hot. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's...
Very nice. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, we have
always welcome.
Okay, thank you. We do have a resort there. But you know, we want to come over and see your house because we saw your last house, so now you've moved into
right.
a new one. We want to see your new house and your new dog. Your new dog.
Yeah, you meet Nashville. His name is Nashville.
God. All right. So thank
All right,
you so much.
Hey,
man.
Thank you for having me on, man. And you know, like I said, it was such a blessing. It's priceless. I can't even begin to tell you how that. Those times were, and that's something that I'll take with me for the rest of my life.
Yes, that's and likewise, man. I just wanted to hear your story. I thought it was important that we heard, you know, other stories and stuff, and that is just it's so different because you have a total different perspective, and so it's like,
yeah.
Oh wow, okay. Let me just ask you: when you were in the studio with us, you being a musician. Was there anything that you were focused on? Any musician, any one of us that you were focused on?
Not necessarily. I think I was more focused on the process of how to make a record.
Okay,
you know what
good.
I mean? Because there's so many intricacies of how to put a record together. And everyone kind of does it a little different. But, you know, Leon had a formula that worked. Obviously.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And just, he was so creative, man. I mean, just, you know, I'm still amazed at him today.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff that even with the stuff that he's done recently that, you know, we've been around him, it's mm-hmm. just, he's never lost any of that, that ear, that feeling, how to just put tracks together and make it work, man. It's like, that's an art within itself, producing. You know, the stuff that you guys, you yourself or Ricky or Kevin or whomever has produced, you know, being a producer is, that's the ultimate creativity right there, in my opinion. I mean, the artists, they have their own side of it, but the producer is like, he's 5,000 foot level seeing everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when it turns into a song, it's just beautiful. Because, you know, everything kind of comes together like a recipe when you bake a cake. You know, you put X amount of flour in, X amount of sugar, X amount of whatever, milk, eggs, and it becomes a cake. Well, you put X amount of things together, and it becomes a song. It's the same thing for me. Yeah,
excellent,
so,
man.
I just, you know, I learned a lot, an awful lot from hanging out with you guys. You know, and that's something that, you know, Ricky and I talk all the time. He said, man, you should write a book. I said, no, I don't want to do that. Just being around it was a blessing enough for me. You know, it was just a blessing, man. And still have you guys as friends, that's amazing.
Yes, absolutely, man. Well, thank you, man, for blessing us and hanging out with us and still being there with us. You know, we are very fortunate all to have each other, and you're a good brother, and love you very much. I love your family. You have two beautiful daughters and a gorgeous wife, and so very, very proud of you and happy for you, and just keep on doing what you're doing, man, because obviously it's working.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Same here, man. You know, I love you guys, and I love you too, Wardell, you know, and call me up when you get off the show because I got to talk to you about something.
Absolutely. All right.
Okay.
Well, we'll be right back. We're going to take a small music break. So keep on loving me. We'll be right back.
Thanks for having me. All right.
You got it, brother. guy as well. It's been a wonderful, wonderful time for me. And I hope you enjoy the show. Very different and very good, because it was a lot of information that normally we don't get, right? And so that was cool. I appreciate my friends calling in and blessing us and sharing their stories. And these stories really matter, and I'm really blessed because of it. So thank you again, guys. You guys are just amazing. And please come back again, starting with Nydra from Dynasty. Nydra from Dynasty. Nydra Beard Silvers. And also Larry White, our amazing brother from Collage, and his amazing story about the whispers, how beautiful, how wonderful that was. I'm so blessed because of him and him coming to share his story and taking that much time with us, and deep conversation, because it touched on a few of our brothers and sisters are not here anymore. So that was kind of heavy. That was something else. And so thank you, Larry, for opening up and sharing that with us, man. We appreciate you very much and love you so much for that. And then finally with my brother Troy Jeter, Ricky's best friend. And, you know, Troy has just been around, and we've been all been close since we were in our 20s. And so much love to Troy Jeter and his family. Thanks so much, Troy, for coming on and blessing us, man, with your story behind the scenes, for sure, for sure, for sure. Now, you know, I don't know what's going on, Greg, but I uploaded these songs and they're not coming up, brother. And I've like refreshed and refreshed and refreshed, and I don't know what's going on. So please don't fire me, Greg. Please, guys, if I'm not here tomorrow, it's because Greg fired me out, and that's what he said. So, but a couple songs from Lakeside that I want to play you guys, and I can't get this thing to act right. So, anyway, much love to all you guys, and we hope that you are blessed. And tomorrow, Solar wants to dance, 2 p.m. Eastern, an hour earlier. And so, you know, we look forward to that. Just get working on that cardio and getting it going and doing our thing. And so I want to give a shout out to all our listeners, people around the world that listen to Solar Records Radio. Much love to you guys. God bless you. And thank you so much for hanging out with us. We do appreciate you here at Solar Records Radio. And share our station with another friend, you know, so that we can grow, you know, and meet more friends and stuff that can be a blessing to us. All right, guys. So thank you again. Don Fleming is gone. He's on the road. So, but once again, man, this has just been a great time for me. I really enjoyed myself. I really enjoyed being able to do this show for you guys. And I gave my shout outs, right, to all the to our, yeah, I did. Okay, cool. Just want to make sure I didn't miss anybody, because it's not nice. It's not nice, right? All right, guys. So, and then on Sunday, we do our praise and worship show. And I want to give a shout out to T. Meyer and his team for blessing us as the way that they do. They are amazing. Thank you, T. Really appreciate you very, very much. He's a good brother, and he's always looking out for us here at Solar. So thanks, T. I'm going to be going on his show. T. Meyer was the lead singer for Lakeside, and one of the lead singers for Lakeside, and a great dancer. And now he's a preacher. He went from dancing to preaching, and that's just a beautiful thing. So God bless you, man. And you guys all take care. Have a blessed, beautiful weekend. This is the beginning of the weekend, the Solar Weekend. We're kicking it off, celebrating the sound of Los Angeles Records here on Solar Records Radio. Thank you again. Thanks to everybody. God bless you. Greg, don't fire me, please.